Those are visiting for Mother's Day. Thank you if you brought your mother, and thank you if your mother brought you. We're glad that you're we're glad that you're visiting here today. I think my mother is watching on the internet right now. They had a dance recital today, so it's always fun to do that. And my grandmothers are watching from the great beyond on the ultranet, the communion of saints that that puts us all in, keeps us all in touch and in communion with one another. Quite a while ago, actually probably when I was a senior in college, I had a dream. It's a dream I've never forgotten. In the dream, I was sent into a small room that had 1,000 radios on shelves, and all of the radios were turned up full blast. And I was told to go into the room, and I was told that one of the radios had the voice that I was supposed to listen for. And I could turn down any of the radios, but I couldn't turn them off. So I had to, in the dream, I had to get really close and I had to listen to each one. It came at a time in my life when I was really trying to make decisions between seminary or law school or other possibilities that had come up. And by the way, as I've said often before, on my worst day as a priest, I thank the Lord, sweet Jesus, I didn't go to law school because I wouldn't have been happy or wouldn't have been very good at it either. But at that time, that was quite unclear. I had a pile of seminary information. I had a pile of law school information and sort of the odd things in between. And listening for that voice is a tricky thing. You get to a point where you almost wish somebody just make a decision for you. I had a wonderful woman as a spiritual director. Her name was Helen Luke. I knew her when she was in her 80s, and I went to Helen, and and Helen was like St. John Vianney. She just had the gift of looking right at you, and you had a sense that she was reading your soul. And I said, Helen, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And Helen said, oh, no, my dear. She was English. She said, oh, no, my dear. You must suffer this decision. It's part of your vocation. She was right. Figuring out the voices is something each one of us has to kind of do on our own, though certainly with a lot of guidance. Finding that one voice, the voice that is the voice that will lead us to love and truth and meaning and purpose in our lives. And there are 1,000 voices that surround us every day, 1,000 ways that people try to get it to our attention, 1,000 ways that people try to work on our soul. There's the voice of culture and commerce, which can be so strong and has such interesting ways of getting its voice out. Every once in a while, I look at camera ads. I'm kind of a photo buff, so I look at camera ads to see what's new. And just recently, about a month ago, I started looking at camera ads just to see what was out there. And I looked at camera ads, and wouldn't you know it, the next day, camera ads started popping up everywhere. It was on my email. It was on my Facebook. Banner ads of blogs that I visit. And at first I was thinking, well, this must be some sign from God. I'm supposed to have the Nikon 610 is mine. Maybe God can even work through an Nikon ad, but it's probably not the voice. It's probably not the voice. And we're pummeled with all those kinds of voices that are there. We have the voices of people who care for us and are in some way invested in our lives, people who we surround ourselves with, our friends. Sometimes those voices carry some part of the message of the one voice. Sometimes those voices are the voices that point us in the direction and that lead us to the Good Shepherd. At other times, those voices might be distracting. And there might be voices that are pulling us or pressuring us to do something or be something that just wouldn't be right for us. When I worked in the seminary years ago, it was still the case, though not as common as in 50 years ago, that we'd get a seminarian who had come to the seminary and had confused the voice of his grandmother with the voice of God in terms of saying, you should be a priest. And almost always they would find that out. And they would find the one voice that would lead them to where they were supposed to be, and the voice that could help them identify their vocation as opposed to the vocation that their family wanted for them or friends or other people wanted for them. So there are some voices that at times can be guidance, at times can be a distraction. God can work through them, but perhaps not the one voice. Then there are the voices and the voices of the evil one that want to truly harm us and distract us. that want to get us out of the sheepfold and work on us. They're the voices that, the voice of shame that can come to us and say, you're not worthy. Nothing you do can matter. It can be the voice of pride and arrogance. The voice of pride that wants us to feel so special. You're so special. You shouldn't have to work. You shouldn't have to work so hard. You're so special in this world. You're so special. You shouldn't have to endure the inconveniences and unpleasantries that everybody else has to endure. What's a guy like you sitting here in the middle of traffic on the 405 as special as you are? There's times when that voice can be destructive and lead us to anger and being upset and jealousy and envy. That voice that says to us a voice of loneliness that says you don't matter. A voice that says to us when we find an issue compelling, like the situation in Africa or Somalia or Ukraine, and such big issues, but so complex and overwhelming. And the voice that says, it's too big for you. Leave it alone. Change the channel. It's too big for you. There can be voices that can hurt us and destroy us and want to take us away from the one voice. The one voice that we look for is the voice of the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. Jesus is the one voice, the voice of hope and the love and truth, the voice that will lead us to meaning, the voice that wants only good for us. The voice of Jesus is a voice that doesn't want anything but the best for us. There's no selfishness. There's no self-serving in the voice of Jesus. The gospel today says, the sheep hear my voice. I've never been fond of this sheep shepherd thing. I don't like being called a sheep. Have you ever been around sheep? They're kind of stupid animals in some ways. You have to move sheep around. When you graze sheep, sheep will just keep eating and they'll eat down into the roots and they'll destroy the grass so that they don't know enough to move to another field. A shepherd has to move them. Sheep are very scared. They're timid animals, so they're afraid of running water, which maybe that's smart, because I mean, if you were wearing a huge sweater and fell into the water, you'd be afraid to say, so that might not be so bad. But you know what the sheep have on us? Sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just not so clear. And so we need ways that sheep don't of being conscious of suffering as we suffering through the learning process of trying to hear the voice of the shepherd who will lead us to places of nurture and healing and growth and transformation. That listening and that happens through our prayer, our study, through confession or spiritual direction, through talking with true friends and spiritual friends, soul friends that we might have to sort out the voices, that we can hear the voice and recognize the voice of the shepherd. The reading today says that the shepherd calls each sheep by name. There's a general call that God makes to us. There's a general call that comes through the Word of God. If you wanted me to say, what's the one voice, I'd hand you a Bible and say, here's the one voice. It's all there. It's in the Mass. It's all there. But each one of us has to listen for the particular message, the particular call, the way that God will call our name in each time that we gather. Matthew Kelly has had this great program and this great kind of charge to people to say, every time you go to Mass, look for at least one thing that God will say just to you. It may be through the homily, it may be through the readings, it may be through the music, it may be through the person who's working the donut table. But somehow, God has at least one thing for you. God's going to call your name at least once every time you come to Mass. And I would say perhaps even every day, that God would give us the one thing that would help us. And sometimes it comes through the general thing. Have you ever watched a movie or read a book or read an article or heard a homily and thought, wow, it's like that was written just for me? Maybe it was. Maybe that's the voice of the shepherds working through the art, through the spoken word, through the written word. Because the shepherd is always calling our name, hoping that we'll hear. Jesus warns against those who pose as shepherds. He warns against those who are not there to give us life, but to take life, to confuse, to scatter. And if we don't know the voice of Jesus, if we don't know the voice of God, it's all the more likely that we can be pulled and drawn into that confusion, that we can find ourselves pulled and drawn into ways that are not true to who we truly our true selves and not true to who we are. Finally, the shepherd opens gates. He opens gates. He opens doors. He sends us out. And sometimes we can feel so stuck in the herd. We can feel so stuck and corralled in our life. But we have to listen for the voice that will call us and open the gate and send us out to pastures where we might find ways of living that are more nurturing and healing and sustaining for all that we do. So pray, brothers and sisters, that we can find ways of recognizing and paying attention to the voice of Christ through our prayer, especially contemplative prayer, especially silence, giving time and trying to understand as we speak and understand as we are still and listen. And that we take time every day to listen and look for the ways that God is working through us and with us and around us. Gratitude, the ways of every night being grateful for the ways the shepherd called your name by the things that he put in your path, the messages, the voices that he put in your path that speak of love and truth and goodness and beauty. We're invited to engage with the church in the best of our tradition, to listen how the best of our tradition, the women and men, have helped us to understand what it is to listen and heed and follow the voice of the shepherd. Today is Mother's Day, and we celebrate mothers, and we celebrate all the women who've been mothers to us, because often it's mothers who have been the ones who have been the first and the best teachers of what it is to listen to the voice of God. They've taught us with their words, but they've taught us through their care and their compassion. They've taught us through their sacrifice to recognize the voice of the one who sacrificed ultimately for us. The mothers and grandmothers and great women teachers and colleagues and friends who've opened up and shown us the path and pointed in the direction and pointed toward the one voice, often completely selflessly in giving. Let us cherish people like that in our life, and especially mothers today, as we all try to listen through all the other voices to the one voice, the voice of the shepherd.